is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 72. Hello, my friends. On this and every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Who am I to be talking to you about this kind of stuff? Well, I have been an independent author and creator since well before the turn of the century. More specifically, perhaps more relevantly to this podcast, I've been an independent author since 2005. I've got over a dozen works on the market, and I am a full-time creative services provider helping other authors and creators bring their works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. This episode is a park cast. I'm walking around here at Central Park in Huntington Beach, California, because it's probably the last really nice day before we get a bunch of rain. And honestly, I've been stuck in my office at the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media for kind of a lot of time, as I've been working on some pretty hardcore stuff for clients that's had me doing some long hours in front of the desk. And it feels good to stretch my legs a little bit. That's why you're gonna hear some background noise now and then. Of course, it being a beautiful day, I'm not the only person here at this park. So you'll hear folks talking, you'll hear kids playing, maybe some bird song, and of course my own footfalls and footsteps. And because I'm walking and talking, the pace of my breath might be a little weird too. So on every episode of Sonatotum, I like to start off by talking about what I've done in the last week or so in my creative life. Yeah, let's see. This is how it's been for the last 3 weeks or so. Most of my energy has been spent on that client work I was talking about, or on this podcast. This podcast has been my primary creative outlet for weeks now, but I did begin a long-delayed Scribtotum article yesterday. Oh, by the way, today is Monday, February 20th, 2023. So yeah, I began a Scribtotum article yesterday that I will be finishing today after I get done recording this for you. It's basically a text version of two podcast episodes ago, just talking about how and why I have decided to make all of my ebooks available on a you name the price, pay what you want basis, so long as they're purchased directly from me over there at mattselznick.com. You can kind of hear all about it if you go back to the name your own price episode of Sonatotum. I'm walking, so I don't have my notes or anything like that with me, but if you go to mattselznick.com and go to the podcast section of the site, which is clearly labeled there in the menu at the top, you'll be able to see which episode I'm talking about if you would prefer to hear about how and why I'm doing pay what you want on all of my ebooks. If you'd prefer to read about it, well then that blog post will be up in public before this episode comes out. So I'll make sure to have a link to it in the show notes. I talked a little bit about this last episode. I have been so focused on doing client work, kind of overwhelmed, a little burned out. There hasn't been a lot of energy for my own creative stuff. And that's sometimes just the way it is, folks. That's the way a freelance life goes. You know, they say it's feast or famine. And for me, I make the joke that oftentimes it's a reasonably decent meal or famine. But yeah, it's been a very busy month or so. But things are opening up a little bit, at least for the next 2 weeks, until another major project is on the calendar. So I will be using this little two-week period to hopefully get back into a bit of a pattern, honor my practice a little more when it comes to regularly creating. As I mentioned today, I'll be finishing that blog post after I talk to you. And then I'm going to spend some time looking at Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, how it all got started, the free fiction serial that I offer my mailing list subscribers. They get a new installment every week. There's over a year, close to a year and a half of content already available. So if you're not already getting Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, how it all got started in your email inbox, you might want to do that. New fiction every week. Just go to mattselznick.com and you'll see the free fiction page there, or go to hazydaysandcloudynights.com. So I'm going to review that stuff, and I'm also going to dig back into Shadow of the Outsider, my long-suffering work in progress that is the follow-up to my last novel, Light of the Outsider, and its follow-up, the novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kawanantag Bay. And hey, did I mention you could get the ebook editions of either one of those, along with my other dozen or so books, for whatever you think they're worth? Name your price over there at mattselznick.com. It's all about the plug, my friends. I wonder sometimes if y'all get tired of hearing me promote my own works. I'm never going to get tired of doing it. As independent creators, that's part of the gig. If you don't talk about your stuff, well, let me put it this way. You cannot guarantee that anyone's going to talk about your stuff except you, so you'd better do it. So every episode of Sonatotum, we're rotating between the three main topics, which are, of course, making stuff, finding success as we each define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. And this time around, it's the turn of making stuff. And I'd like to talk about making the stuff that we use to make stuff. I'd like to talk about writing software. And with you, I'd like to maybe suss out the perfect ultimate writing software application. Now, you might be thinking, I'm already using the perfect writing software for me. And that might be true. Maybe, you know, you've got something going. You've got an application, or more likely, a set of applications that do exactly what you need them to do. I think it's probable, though, that whatever process you have going on right now, whatever tools you're using, you have probably settled a little bit. Your process has as much to do with the tools that you're using dictating that process as how you would prefer to work. I could be wrong, but from the writers that I've kind of informally surveyed on this, everybody has some ideas about what their writing software application should do that it doesn't currently do. Everybody has their ideas of dream features, a wish list of features. And so do I. I have tried pretty much every writing software application available for Windows and Linux. None of my computers, none of my devices run Apple products, so I can't speak to those. But honestly, that's one of my dream prerequisites, which is that whatever software we're talking about, it works on Windows, on Apple devices and computers, and it works on Linux. Also, though, I am not interested in something that requires you to be online. So web-based applications are right out. Unless, of course, it has also a platform agnostic, operating system agnostic version as well. I don't want to have to be online to jump into whatever work I feel like doing. I think that's stupid. And even Scrivener, which is one of the, maybe the top writing application, when you start it up, it calls back to the parent company and checks your license every time. And if it doesn't make that connection, it won't let you start up the program. That's bullshit to me. So there we are. Cross-platform, not requiring any kind of web connection, because we should be able to work whenever we want on whatever device is in front of us, at least whether that's our laptop or our desktop computer. To that end, whatever device we're on should instantly sync in real time with the other versions of the software on other computers. So if I write up a chapter or I do some work on my laptop, I should be able to go home, fire up the desktop computer, and it automatically syncs. Now, of course, that would require some kind of network connection, but only for the syncing. I mean, of course, it's got to talk wirelessly to other devices or over the internet to other devices if those devices are going to sync up. But I don't want it to have to depend on an internet connection to just work, right? Does that make sense? So, completely cross-platform, operating system agnostic, doesn't require an online connection, so not a web app, or at least not primarily a web app, and syncs automatically between devices. The other thing I'd like to see, whatever this software is, it doesn't ask you to work in a particular way. And by that I mean it accommodates however you might work as a writer. Maybe you're an outliner, maybe you are someone who just makes things up as you go along, maybe you're a little bit of both. Maybe one type of project you do one thing, the other type of project you do another. It should stay out of your way, basically, and allow you to organize the raw elements of your work any way that you see fit. Now, that means that it will have to have outliner capabilities. And for that, let's talk about outliners for a second. So I have spoken many times about a tool that is at the center of my workflow, and that is Dynalist. Dynalist, like so many tools, comes very, very close to being almost exactly what I need. Dynalist is a cross-platform, platform agnostic, online and offline, desktop and web-based, text-based outliner with full search capabilities, with tagging, with internal and external linking. There's even color coding involved, although I don't get too much into that. It does a lot. It's just not so great for really long form content. It's great for notes. It's great for making actual outlines. The whole thing is built around bulleted lists. But its exporting capabilities are limited. We'll get into some of these other features that it does not have. But let's talk about what it does exceptionally well. As an outliner, pretty much everything in it, as I mentioned, is an item on a bulleted list. And you can organize those lists any way you want. Drag and drop automatically, changing the order, changing an item from being a child of another item to becoming a parent, you know, changing the level in the hierarchy of the outline of any single item. And that's really great. It also allows sort of infinite focus. So let's say you've got an outline and there are nested items, maybe four or five levels deep, right? Point one, sub point B, sub point 1B, sub point 1BA, you know what I'm saying? Well, you can make any item on the outline a full focus where it takes up the whole page, right? So you can ignore all the other elements and just focus on the one element. I would want all of that completely flexible outlining magic to be included in any writing software that I'm thinking of. Outlines are a big part of, I would say, most writing software applications. You know, Scrivener and Plotter, maybe, YWriter, you know, they all have some sort of folder, document, item, method. But they're not all perfect in that regard. Some of them insist on calling each level of the outline a certain thing, like a chapter or a scene. There's limits. I want the outline to be completely, completely customizable and flexible. So, online, offline, sync across devices, no requirement for an online connection to use, and a completely flexible outlining system. So, the more that I've looked into this and the more that I've thought about it, the more I've been thinking that so-called writing software should not be the model for what I'm thinking of. There's a class of applications that comes very close to doing what I'm talking about here. You could call these note-taking applications or offline brain applications or knowledge center applications. I'm talking about things like Notion, Obsidian, Tana, Logsec, OneNote, things like that, right? So many of those fall short on one or many of the requirements that I think we need for a perfect writing software application. Including most of these products that I just mentioned are either web apps first. In other words, you have to have an internet connection to be able to use them, or they aren't cross-platform. There's no desktop version. You know, they all fall short in one way or the other. But something that these knowledge collection offline brain applications share, well, they don't all share it, but one of the features that many of them have is automatic bi-directional linking, or to think of it in another way, wiki links. Okay? In other words, you can highlight any word or phrase and make it a link to another item in the collection, even if that other item doesn't exist yet. So let's say you're a pantser and you write, make things up as you go along, and you're typing along and you write a sentence that Bill walked into the room and there before him was Josephine. And you don't know who Josephine is. You just know, whoops, I guess Josephine's gonna be a character in this story. So you should be able to highlight Josephine and create a link to a page about Josephine that might not exist yet. And you can go back later on and create that page. Even better would be the ability to make a particular type of page. And, you know, logic might say that, well, that would be a character page, right? Before I get into that, though, that's the idea behind bidirectional linking. Oh, and by the way, if you already had a page for Josephine, you could highlight the word Josephine and maybe by left-clicking or whatever, you'd be presented with an option to link that to an existing page so that you have this organically automatically growing and developing knowledge base that isn't, this is the other thing. And I know it's all of these things overlap, so it's hard to just speak of a particular thing when talking about this stuff, but all of these things would not necessarily be restricted to a particular work. The idea behind this sort of writer's knowledge base would be that you can have an item, a bit of data, Josephine, a character, who is referenced in any number of works. And those associations would be entirely up to you. So you're not limited to working in a particular, okay, like this is the story Bible for just this story. No, you could create entire story world Bibles. It would be I really think a knowledge base is the main idea. An all-encompassing database that covers all of your fiction and something that you can use to actually plot and write and revise that fiction. So again, there are applications that come close to this. YWriter in particular, I'm thinking of that software, which is free, by the way, and pretty damn cool, but it's not quite it. YWriter allows you to create databases of characters, of places, and of things, which is cool, but those things are only native to that particular project. And I'm pretty sure Scrivener is similar in this regard. Plotter, which is sort of a newcomer in this space, is a little bit more flexible, but still, all of these applications at some point dictate how you're going to organize the information. And I think what would truly be most useful is taking the knowledge base approach, where everything is just data. And how you organize the data is up to you. And what you call the data is up to you. And how the data relates to other data is up to you. A relational database, I think that's what that's called. And so this is kind of what I'm seeing. Right? Everything that you decide is an item, a bit of information, becomes part of this, database, right? And different types of data can have different qualities. So let's stick with the simplest example. A character entry, a bit of data designated as a character, could have all the usual stuff. Well, honestly, this is the whole point. It could have anything that you want it to have. If you want your character sheets to be like eye color and weight and height and date of birth, and date of death and occupation and favorite food and all these sort of like dating application attributes, you could have it, but you wouldn't have to. If you wanted your character sheets to just simply be name and appears in, you know, like what stories does this character appear in, or something else that I have always longed for, an automatic self-generating list of how this character is related to other characters, both literally, as in father, mother, daughter, son, spouse, etc., but also in whatever terms you find are relevant and important to your work. Lover of character Z from this date to that date, or best friend of character Y, or went to school X. And if you click on school X, you get a page for school X that includes, among other things, all the characters that you know attended school X and the years that they attended it, because you've included that information. You see what I'm saying? You get to decide what each item classifies and stores. And all of it can be interconnected, and all of it can be searched, and all of it can be organized in any way that you like. So a knowledge base, I think we're talking about here, a completely flexible, utterly customizable personalized knowledge base that works according to how you want it to work, and importantly, can be changed and adjusted and added to on the fly without breaking anything. A knowledge base like that, that is also a fully functional outliner and manuscript writing and editing environment. And under this model, I think everything in your manuscript, in the manuscript itself at the very least, but certainly down to the outline item level, would also be an item. So if your outline was like part, chapter, scene, beat, you know, in order of top level to nested taxonomy or categorization, I guess, every beat would be its own item, right? Everything in your story world, everything in the collection of multiple narrative works would just be an item. This is what I envision. This is the only way I really see creating a writer's application that doesn't force you to work like it wants you to work. That allows you to design a system that works the way you want to work while keeping track of and collecting all of the elements related to your fictional worlds. Does that make sense? Oh, also, as part of all this, it would have to keep a revision history of everything so that you could immediately look and see what the changes were to a particular item. Like, let's say, you know, it's February 20th. Let's say 3 days ago, I decided that Josephine had blue eyes. Well, then today I decide, you know what? I want her to have green eyes. But if I go back in 4 days, I'll be able to see in the changes list for that item. Oh yeah, I changed her eyes from whatever I said, brown to green on that date. And I can go back and change it back, or I can just, you know, use that as a memory jogger or whatever. I'm not sure how programmatically this would work, but also the ability to find all the instances where we're talking about Josephine and the color of her eyes. I got this off of a fellow member of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association suggested this. I could go back into my manuscript, find every instance where we're talking about Josephine's eyes, and make sure that I've given her the correct color eyes based on the most recent revision of her character sheet where it talks about her eyes. I think that could be done by using a generative AI, like a ChatGPT, like a subset, or a small, like mini version of ChatGPT that is trained only on your work, your story world, your database that we're talking about here. So almost like having a little helper on your shoulder, like kind of like live spell check, right? So live spell check automatically knows when you misspell occasionally. I don't mean you occasionally misspell. I mean you misspell the word occasionally, like I not so occasionally do. So live spell check, right? It catches that pretty much while you're typing. Why couldn't a little mini local AI built into this program catch things like this? Like, oh, hey, you just typed that Josephine's eyes are blue. Last time I checked, Josephine's eyes are green, you know? So that's another element to this. The other thing, and this is super important, is that all of this information, all of this data, all these items from the color of a character's eyes up to a full manuscript, everything is saved, number one, in a format that is future-proof, as close to pure text as possible. And I don't know if that's markdown language or some sort of XML, but the kind of thing that if this software dies in 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that anybody could get into that database and pull out the necessary information and import it into something else. Connected to that, remember I said that this has to be cross-platform and able to sync across devices. So connected to that, this application would have to store its data somewhere that can be readily shared. Maybe that's a Dropbox account. Maybe that's a Google Drive account, or whatever. I run C file on my home server. It could be a C file folder that syncs between your different devices. I don't want people to have to store things to the cloud if they don't want to. So that would mean even that you could store the entire database on a USB drive if you wanted to, so that you're not, again, you don't need online access if you don't want to have it. So the location where the data is stored should be anywhere you want it to be, including some sort of cloud accessible location. But again, it could just as easily be a USB drive that you plug into the different machines upon which you use the software. Similarly, it should have backup capabilities that you can adjust not just the location, but how often it backs up, and whether or not it's incremental or a full backup every time. Yeah. So let's see if we can review and list off the things that we've talked about here to create the ultimate perfect application for writers. Especially, I'm going to say, writers who work in large story worlds that include multiple different works, novels, short stories, novellas, what have you, all sharing a similar set of information, right? So, what have we decided? It needs to be cross-platform, platform agnostic, works on Mac, Windows, Linux. It needs to be auto-syncing across these platforms. However, when it's not auto-syncing, it does not require an online connection to work. The software lives on the device upon which you are using it, not on the web. The data is in as close to a plain text, future-proof format as possible. Maybe that's XML, maybe that's Markdown, I'm not sure. But it's got to be something that can be used even if the software disappears, is no longer developed, all that. The data, the information in the software should not be held prisoner by the software. A completely customizable, free-form, drag-and-drop outliner that drills as deep as you want it to go, as many sub-levels as you find necessary, as many parent-child relationships as you find necessary for your work, with each one of these outline items being whatever you want them to be. No preset labels. In fact, no preset labels on anything, you know? It's a Tinker Toy set, right? That you basically create the workflow and the criteria that make the most sense to you. Everything is searchable. Everything can be bidirectionally linked to everything else. Everything can have some form of taxonomy assigned to it, so that, for example, you could do something obvious like look at the characters and a page or a screen with all of the characters would pop up, and you could click on each one of those characters and dive into their character sheet. And on their character sheet, you could see what books or short stories or whatever they appear in. And you know what I'm saying? Everything is linked. But also, something as granular as we talked about eye color, you could bring up eye color and find all the different eye colors that you've assigned to characters or even to animals or robots or whatever, all the different eye colors and perhaps how frequently they appear. How neat would that be? You know, you've certainly seen word frequency charts in some of these writers' applications. Well, what about how often you use the eye color brown? How often are your characters blonde or brunette? How often are they right-handed as opposed to left-handed? You should be able to call up and organize and inspect any item, any collection of items in your off-board brain for your story world. We talked about creating our own elements for a particular page. We talked about bi-directional linking. I think, exporting. Let's make sure that we can export anything we want in a variety of useful formats. Most obviously would be very, very clean HTML and rich text, plain text, possibly EPUB. But you know, if you're able to export to HTML, really, I mean clean HTML, not this garbage HTML that Word and Scrivener and these other applications export to, but really clean HTML. If you're able to export to HTML and you're able to export to rich text, you can pretty much do anything else you want, right? I keep thinking of other things. There could be, when you are exporting, there could be a setting where you do or you do not include the bi-directional links that might be part of a body, part of a manuscript. For example, maybe in your manuscript while you're working in the application, you know, it's crazy with links, right? Because you've got a link every time you mention Josephine, that links to Josephine's page. Every time, you know, you see what I'm saying. But when you export the manuscript, you don't necessarily want all those links. That's not important to the book. So you could choose whether or not to include them, right? So I think really when we're talking about creating a writer's dream application, speaking for myself, of course, but you know, I think really what we're talking about is creating a highly, highly flexible, highly customized collection, integrated collection of knowledge base tools. I would use the hell out of this. I would live in it like I live in Dynalist. I think that's the extent of my thoughts on this right now. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonatotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonatotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonatotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile, you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonatotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonatotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonatotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. Folks, as you just heard, there is a membership community associated with Sonatotum, associated with my creative works, associated with the writers and readers who are part of my small but mighty cohort ever-growing. This membership community helps support the show, and hopefully, ideally, we help support each other through community and mentorship and all of those lovely things. I would like to thank the current member community members, Amy Bowen, Chuck Anderson, J.C. Hutchins, and Ted Leonhardt. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as you just heard, if you would like to join the member community, you can visit nattselznick.com. Just look for the member community link at the top of the website there at mattselznick.com. Hey, I, of course, really, really would love to hear your thoughts on my somewhat preconsidered ideas on the perfect creative writer's software application. You can simply leave a comment for this episode over there at mattselznick.com. You can send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. You can record a very brief voice message on your phone, perhaps, and email that to me at matt@mattselznick.com. I would love to hear from you about this or any other Sonatotum episode. I really feel like this off-board brain Tinker Toy Lego set of features that can work as the ultimate, perfectly flexible, customizable writer's application, I think it's doable. I don't have the tools or the knowledge to do it, but I think it's doable. I'm going to be giving it a lot of thought, and I would love, once again, I would love to hear your thoughts. If there's a feature that I haven't included, that I haven't thought of in the sort of broad strokes that I've described, by all means, reach out to me, matt@mattselznick.com, and let me know what you think. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.